In studio this morning, our first guest, Congressman Michael R. Curie. We have a very busy day today, 8:35. Oneida County Sheriff candidate Rob Machel joins us. From there, in the 9 o'clock hour, we go to Roanne DeCito, Assemblywoman Roanne DeCito. We'll talk to her about her bid for re-election. We go a little bit lighter. Later in the 9 o'clock hour, we talk about curling. The Utica Curling Club is going to stop in and describe a sport to me that I know absolutely nothing about. And we'll cap it off real lightly with David Jacobson, author of the book, 7.5 Habits of Highly Humorous People. That should be very interesting as we say welcome in this morning to Congressman Michael R. Curie. Michael, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming back. How's the campaign going so far?
Good. You know, I mean, when you get to this point in the campaign, it gets to be, you know, kind of grueling, and you just sort of put your head down and try to, you know, run to the finish line. And, you know, I think both sides, Richard and I were talking yesterday at the debates, and I think, you know, you kind of just hope that it's over with.
Yeah,
and,
are you ready for it to end at this point?
Yeah, definitely ready for it to end. You know, it gets tough on the family. You know, I think it's tougher, you know, on your wife, my mother, my daughter, you know, and, you know, the commercials are hitting both sides pretty hard, and you just kind of look forward to it being over at this point.
Are you a little bit tougher to live with during campaign time, or are you pretty even keel?
I would say probably to some extent, except that I'm not home that much, you know, so, you know, I'm on the road a lot, traveling, get home late, leave early. But you know, it takes its toll on everybody. I mean, it really does. It's pretty hard to, you know, to be constantly out there doing it. But what it does do, Mike, is it really makes you appreciate your home life a lot more.
Sure.
And it does sort of put things in perspective, you know, and you realize that really what's important is your family, your home life, your children, you know, and for me, it does kind of put things in perspective.
And the phones are open this morning, too, by the way, if you've got a question for Congressman R. Curie, 624-0870. 624-0870. We not only allow calls, we expect them. We'd love to have your input this morning. So as you're out on the campaign trail this year, you're talking to people, you're shaking hands, you know, you're listening to people and their concerns. What's the biggest concern right now? What are you hearing the most?
Jobs, the economy, you know, it continues to be that concerns with what our ideas are for the future. And I think that's the biggest difference between myself and Mr. Hanna in terms of who has the ideas on what to do going forward. But, you know, around here, because we have so many people on Social Security, that's a big question. People on Social Security want to know what are we doing about the cost of living adjustment, which we're going to go back and we're going to give them $250, which is the COLA. Even though the COLA won't fit in, we're going to give it to them in a lump sum for 2010 and 2011. And they want to know about that. They want to know, is Social Security solvent? And, you know, what are my views on privatization? And I'm strongly against privatizing Social Security. So, you know, those are the issues that we hear most about. In the southern part of the district, south of Utica, it's about hydraulic fracking, which is a process that they talk about to extract natural gas from the Marcellus Shale. But many of the people down there, in fact, the majority, are concerned that it can contaminate the groundwater, which is a huge concern. So that's a very big issue in the southern part of the district.
All right. This isn't the first campaign you've been through, obviously. You're looking for your third term now. If you could compare this one and I guess kind of the temperature of the people compared to the last two times you've run, what's the feeling? Is there I don't really want to say desperation, but are people more angry now than they were when you started?
Yeah, I mean,
way back when,
you know, there are different waves. You know, I mean, politics are in a sense cyclical, and you know, when I say cyclical, I mean there are waves. You know, there are currents that go back and forth. And obviously, when I won in 2006, it was a strong Democratic current. This year, it seems to be a stronger Republican current. Now, one of the interesting things that I find is there was a recent poll that was released. It was a bipartisan, but it wasn't our poll. It was by one of the Washington D.C. newspapers called The Hill, and it had me up by 10 points. But the interesting thing about the poll is it said the people in this district were really dissatisfied with Congress, but they approved of the job that I was doing, which, you know, is one of the things that I'm very proud of. And I've worked very hard to not make this race about Washington. It's not about, I'm not, you know, and I say this all the time, I'm not Nancy Pelosi. I'm Mike R. Curie. I've been district attorney here in Oneida County for 13 years, been your congressman for 4 years. I've worked hard, listened to the people, and, you know, that's what it's about. So I think if you can cut through the sort of the wave and let people recognize the fact that you're listening to them and you work for them, I think you can sort of go cross current.
624-0870 if you have a question this morning for Michael R. Curie. 624-0870. Let's get away from the campaign for just a little bit. We'll go back to it. Let's talk about some of the things we're looking at in the area right now. High-speed rail. Everyone's excited about high-speed rail. Talk to me about it. Where does it stand? First of all, what is it? Where does it stand? Are we going to get money for it? Just kind of give me the full scenario.
Well, you know, we call it high-speed rail because that's sort of the sexy name for it. But really, what it is, it's more speed rail is really, I think, the more accurate term for it. And you get more speed rail by doing two things. One is by improving the quality of the track, all right, improving the reliability of the trains. All right, so, for instance, if we just improve the tracks that we have now, we wouldn't even need high-speed engines. We could get the engines that we're working on now, that we have now, going the 95 or 100 miles an hour that they're capable of doing. The problem is the tracks are so bad, they can only go 55 miles an hour most of the way. Another very strong example is there are switches along the line. Between Syracuse and Albany, there are probably 10 switches. Each of those switches takes about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes to get through. You have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We could, just by putting new switches in there, knock a minute and a half off of each of those. That's about 10 to 15 minutes time that we save without doing anything but putting new switches in, you know, speed up the route. That's really exciting. Now, we were able to get $150 million for New York State in the first, what they call, pool. We were also, I was able to get another $10 million for work along Oneida County, between Oneida County and Buffalo. But we're going to get probably an additional significant amount in the future. Our application, New York's application, wasn't really good the first time, but we were still able to get $150 million. They're going to put a second track in between Schenectady and Albany. That'll stop the bottom. If you've ever taken a train, you know that the train stops in Schenectady because you have to let the freight trains go through because there's only one track. So we're improving that. We think that, look, I think what you have to do is build on the assets that you have. What we have here in Utica is an incredible train station on an incredible rail line. We're not going to get an airport here. I mean, we're not going to get regular air travel like we would like. So let's try to develop what we have, and the rail is the best way to do that.
And this is exclusively passenger train that we're talking about for the more speed rail.
Yes, but the nice thing about it is we will let the freight trains use it as well. And that's important because the freight CSX actually owns the line.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is put a third line. The bed is already there. If you ever look, if you can see the two tracks and you look, you can see the third bed where there used to be a rail line. So all we have to do is put the new line in there. So everyone will use it. It'll benefit the passenger rail, and, of course, it'll benefit the freight as well.
All right, 624-0870 if you have a question this morning for Congressman R. Curie. 624-0870. I don't know if you caught the piece on CNBC Wednesday night about Remington Arms, and this certainly is not your issue by any means, and I'm curious, the Model 700 rifle, apparently there have been some issues with it firing without the trigger being pulled, and the flavor of the interview is kind of that Remington has known about this all along, and like I said, this no way reflects anything in your administration. The question is, how involved do you get in something like that? Because this is a pretty big employer.
Right.
This sits right in Illion. So how concerned do you get when you see something like this? And what action, if any, do you take?
Well, I mean, generally, that's not action that we get involved in, nor that we could get involved in. I mean, that is an internal a discussion for Remington to have.
Yes.
What sometimes concerns me, and I have to say, let me qualify this by saying I'm not involved in it. I don't know all of the details of it at all. I didn't see the piece the other night. But what you find sometimes are competitors of the different companies, you know, beginning these kind of I don't want to say rumors, but these kind of concerns and hyping them up more than they are. I mean, it's amazing the competition for different government contracts that you see out there. So I before anyone jumps to conclusions, I think we really need to hear the whole story, and I don't think we've heard the whole story yet. I mean, I know the quality of work that they do at the Ilion plant. I know what a great product Remington is. I know how much the military thinks of the work that they do. So I'm going to say let's pump the brakes a little bit here and let's really get the whole story because I'm not sure we have the whole story yet as to what went on and, more importantly, who's sort of the one driving this whole story.
You have a big rally coming up 29th.
Correct.
This month,
Bill
Clinton will be there.
Yes, that's right.
That is confirmed. That's for sure. Bill
confirmed.
Clinton is going to be there.
Bill Clinton,
be pretty excited about that.
It is. Well, you know, the other thing that I'm really excited about, I mean, I'm a Utica guy, you know, but he's coming to the city of Utica. We haven't had a president in Utica since John F. Kennedy. And actually,
is that right?
That's right. And that was only, he was running for president. So he wasn't actually, he had not been elected president. But, you know, I mean, we have people, presidents into the area, but not into the city of Utica. So we were pretty excited when we found out that we were going to get him. I wanted to have him come into the city of Utica because I just thought it would be a real nice gesture, real nice shot in the arm for the city. And, you know, to have him at a great venue like the Stanley,
sure.
I mean, it is just spectacular there. So we're really excited about that.
Let's talk a little bit about your campaign commercials, Michael, because this is a very hotly contested race, one of the most hotly contested races in the country, and everybody knew that coming in. And the further we go along, it seems that the nastier the commercials get on both sides, not
right.
just on your side. Can you kind of address that?
Sure.
Why does that happen? Because I'll be honest with you, the one thing that I hear all the time when I talk to people about politics, talk about the campaigns, that always comes up. I can't stand the mudslinging. I hear it every time, everybody I talk to. Go ahead.
Well, let me say the couple. I think there are two very important points that you need to make here. First one is what you're in. And I, last night I was trying to watch something on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I my wife recorded at one of our favorite shows. And in between, I saw all of these commercials that were not run by Richard Hanna. They were run by independent groups called 527s. Now, those have been, and you always know the commercials that are done by 527s because you don't get Richard Hanna coming on at the end saying, I approve this,
sure.
or me coming on saying, I approve these. Now, the groups that are running these are free trade groups, all right? I oppose free trade because we've seen too many of our jobs, leave this area. As a result of this so-called free trade, as a result of NAFTA. They are funded, one whole segment of commercials is funded by this group, another by the Wall Street interest. I voted for Wall Street reform, and that's who are funding these commercials. And now under the recent Supreme Court case, you don't have to identify, these groups do not have to identify who their donors are. If the National Republican Committee runs an ad against me, Mr. Hanna cannot have anything to say about that. But don't forget, 4 years ago when I ran, do you remember they ran a commercial against me 4 years ago that said that I made sex calls that we proved was untrue,
mm-hmm.
and they had to pull the commercial off the air. I mean, it was absolutely the worst commercial I have ever seen. I mean, I have a teenage daughter. I can remember seeing that commercial come on and just so all I could think of is my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking,
sure.
this is untrue. We had the phone records to show that it wasn't true. So the local stations pulled the commercial. But this stuff is just, you know, it's devastating on families. I mean, you know, I have to live here. You know, we have to live here afterward. And look, again, I don't like it. Unfortunately, I think when all is said and done, negative ads net out to zero, and then the people make a decision based upon who they think is the best candidate.
We're talking to Congressman Michael R. Currie. Your phone calls welcome this morning and encouraged at 624-0870. 624-0870. You know, the other thing I hear all the time, just kind of, it seems to be the battle cry this season is, I keep hearing the term career politician, which, by the way, you know, I guess after two terms, you're kind of labeled a career politician. And that seems to be the big cry of the Tea Party movement right now, that they're looking for a politician to come into office to spend one term, two term, and then go back to the farm. What do you mean? Because I'm sure we've had some good congressmen that have been in position for more than two terms.
Well, I mean the sort of couple of points on that. One is you cannot function well for your district in one term.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely impossible. It takes time to learn the job. Look, I was a DA for 13 years, which incidentally is non-political by definition.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to, you know, to become an effective district attorney. It takes time to become an effective congressman. It's not just about clout. It's about meeting people. It's about making friends. I mean, you legislate by working with other people. You work with other people by getting to know them. So serving for one term and then coming home really does a disservice to your district. So this idea of career politician, frankly, is silly. I mean, I understand that you don't want people that are there forever. I agree. You're not going to have to worry about having term limits with me. But on the other hand, I think if a person is doing an effective job, then they should stay there. You know, I think this idea of career politician is something that people say when they have nothing else to say because they don't know how else to attack. I mean, attack my job performance. If Mr. Hanna and the Tea Party don't like the job that I'm doing, then tell me what you don't like and tell me, more importantly, what you think should be done. That is what the other side is devoid of. They don't have any ideas. They don't have any vision. I characterize it like this. Here in Utica, we were the victims many years ago of a thing called Urban Renewal. Now, Urban Renewal was a great program. It knocked down the old dilapidated buildings. The problem with Urban Renewal was it had nothing to put in its place. So now you drive along Genesee Street and you see these gaping holes in our main street because we didn't have the vision to build in its place. You can't just knock down. You need to have a vision for what you're going to put there. And that's what I talk about. And I say, if you don't think that I'm doing a good job, tell me what you think should be done. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. But don't just say that I'm a career politician, because that really demonstrates that you don't have anything positive to say about your own campaign.
6240870. If you were calling, I didn't get to your call, please call back. 6240870. If you would like, have a question this morning for Congressman Arcuri. 8:35 this morning, we talked to Rob Machel. We'll find out how his campaign is going for Oneida County Sheriff. Let's just address the Tea Party movement one more time. Has it had much influence at all on the way you've campaigned? You know what? Let's go to the phones first, Michael, if you want to slap those headphones on. B95, good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Good. You have a question for Mr. Arcuri?
I can't hear it.
Yes, oh, I just like to know what they do about the Indian situation, where they get tax-free and their prices are high, and we don't reap any benefits from it.
Okay, sir, I'm sorry. Could you, you got it now, Michael? All right.
Yes,
now. There we go. Could you ask that question again, sir? I'm sorry.
I want to know how you feel about Indians paying fair share taxes, and why Cuomo, he hasn't addressed it, and his father is the reason why we're in this jam with the Indians.
Right.
I mean, giving the casino a free ride, but how about all these gas stations and nice and easy? They're not paying any taxes on.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you, sir. You know, first off, that is strictly and exclusively a state issue with respect to paying sales tax. But let me give you my position on the state issue and also my position federally on the things that I do have some influence over. With respect to the state issue, I think absolutely the state government has to collect the taxes. And let me give you an example of this. About 3 or 4 months, actually it was 6 months ago, Cayuga County did a raid, and they stopped all of the sales of cigarettes by Indian establishments. During the 2 weeks afterward, before the court set it aside, the amount of tax revenue that the counties took in sales tax was phenomenal. I mean, off the charts. And that's money that went not only to the county government through sales tax, but also to the state. That was a rare opportunity to see exactly how much money the state and the county governments are losing. So I think absolutely they can do it. They can do it, if not directly, they can do it by taxing the middlemen who actually sell the cigarettes to the Native Americans. That's the first point. Second point on that is, you know, I've stood up when there was a proposed agreement last year between the Oneidas and Oneida County, and I was one of the people that said, hey, that's not a good idea. We need to make sure two things happen before we take land into trust. One is that any land that there is a limit on the amount of land that goes into trust, and that there is a reoccurring revenue stream. Otherwise, the system just doesn't work. Additionally, there is a federal piece of legislation called Karaseri, which says that any Indian tribe that was not under federal jurisdiction in 1934 cannot take land into trust. Now, New York State's position is that the Oneidas and the Cayugas were not under federal jurisdiction, and therefore they cannot take land into trust. So that's a very strong decision that the state has on its side. So, you know, those are the things that we are working on the federal side.
I'm trying to squeeze one more call, and if you were just calling, I didn't get to you, please do call back. We're talking about the Tea Party. Has it influenced the way you've campaigned this year?
Not really. I think, you know, while there is a Tea Party influence in our district, I don't think that it, I mean, I don't think it's had a huge influence on it. It certainly hasn't changed really what I do. I think, look, I represent the whole district. I represent liberals. I represent conservatives. I represent moderates. I represent Tea Party members, every Green Party members. So, you know, I try to look at every issue based upon what works best for the majority of the people in the district. And, you know, if it works for Tea Party people, great. And if it doesn't, you know, I try to do what's best for the majority of the district.
All right. 26 minutes after 8 o'clock. It's 8:26. We can try to squeeze in one more phone call for Michael Arcuri. So where does the campaign go from here? Obviously, the 29th, you have your rally at the Stanley. Just busy. You're down to the thin part of the funnel, and it's going to be crazy for the next 8-9 days.
We had this week. We had two debates. Richard and I on Tuesday. We had two debates yesterday. And we're done with, we have just one more debate next week in Oneonta, and then we have a last forum at the Jewish Community Center on Sunday morning. That's usually sort of the traditional end of the campaign season here anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll just work hard, you know, do what I've been doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. Get out there, meet people, talk to people. Most importantly, I listen. I think what the trait that I am proudest of is I listen to my constituents and I respond to what they tell me, and that's what I'll continue to do over the next now it's about 10 days.
Okay. All right, Michael. Thank you very much for stopping and taking some time. I know you're busy. You're and just getting busier, but thank you very much for taking some
early
time.
Early in the morning like this is good. It's great. I could always fit that in.
Okay. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate having you. You take care. Best of luck to you. All right.